put a finger there or a placeholder there, turn back to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Now I want to go back to keep the flow to verse 22. James 1, verse 22. And be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his face in a mirror. He looks at himself, he goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks or who gazes intensely into the perfect law of liberty and perseveres, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, to keep oneself unstained from the world. These are the words of God through Pastor James. May God help us hear and do. Religion. What is it? If you've been attending the Wednesday night studies, you should know my own definition of religion. I should put a few of you teenage students on the spot. My own definition of religion is man's attempts to appease or pacify or be reconciled to whomever or whatever he deems as God. Let me say that again. Man's attempts to appease or pacify or be reconciled with whomever or whatever he deems as God. In other words, religion, in my way of thinking and in the way of many other Christians thinking, is human effort. It's works righteousness. It's earning your way into God's good graces, however you define God. All the religions of the world, except Christianity, and we've been studying Judaism on Wednesdays, and next we will study Islam. And as we go through the religions of the world, you'll see that what I'm telling you is true. All the religions of the world, except Christianity, give you a religious checklist. You check off the blocks in order to appease or pacify or be reconciled to your God. All religions of the world, except Christianity, tell you to earn your way into God's good favor. And the human depraved heart craves just such a checklist. And so, given this understanding of religion, it strikes me as odd. Does it strike you as odd that James, after all this good word-centered stuff he's been giving us and rebirth, regeneration, brought forth by the will of God stuff, it seems a bit odd that he then turns and says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father. Certainly he's not using religion in the sense that I just gave you. And so what gives? What is going on here with James? Well, I want to warn you against two things before we jump in with both feet to verses 26 and 27. First thing I want to warn you about is the checklist mentality. It's easy to read these two verses, take them out of their context, and say, see, James gave you a religious checklist, check it off, and you're a good little Christian boy or girl, and God is in heaven applauding you, and He's beside Himself at how great you are, instead of singing how great He is, right? That's certainly not James' intent, so I warn you against the religious checklist mentality, and I want you to note that right here, in James 1, 26 and 27 is the only place in the whole New Testament where this word religion is used. So it's not a normal way, even in, to me it adds evidence that James was writing very early, the first book in the New Testament. It was not a normal way to talk about Christianity. It certainly fell out of vogue very quickly in Christian history as they began to compare themselves to pagan religions all around them. I think they quit using the word very quickly. This is the only place it's used. And so I wouldn't build like a full, robust idea of what the word means. Just you have to take it for what it's worth with James. Let James tell you what he means in context. The word in the Greek that he uses here for religious and religion means literally external religious rituals or prescribed religious duties. All right? So he is using a word that means very similar to what I just told you about religion. An external ritual or prescribed religious duty. And we need to be honest enough to say God indeed did prescribe such rituals for His old covenant people, Israel. And He does tell you, as a Christian, you have duties. You're going to claim to be a Christian? You have obligations. Commands are also laid upon you. But God never meant for those outward acts, those prescribed religious duties, to be a person's source of hope for salvation. There is nowhere in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, that God told the Jewish people, trust the law and be saved. You won't find it. You don't trust the law. You just obey it, or you disobey. Those are your two options with law. They were never told to put their faith in law, to put their faith in religious duties. All of those prescribed duties and laws, if you want to call them that, were simply meant to be outward expressions of a heart devoted to God who had given mercy and forgiven out of sheer mercy. It was a way to express thanksgiving, devotion, adoration, humility before a God who had saved the likes of sinners, like old Israel, and like Corydon Baptist Church today. So beware the religious checklist mentality. James is full of practical instruction, and so you need to heed this warning, and you'll probably hear it again as we keep traveling through James. Hear the intent, the heart behind James's words. He in no way means to convince you that if you go out today and serve a widow, that you can pat yourself on the back and know you earned some kudos with God. Beware the religious checklist mentality. Being brought forth, James 1:18, being brought forth by the will of God through the Word of God produces a desire to obey and serve God. Don't lose the flow. Don't lose the main thrust that James is giving us here. True religion changes the heart, and that changes everything. When you hear the Word of God rightly, James has been saying, you will do it. You will desire strongly to do it. James is giving us real Christian religion in a real religious world. Word created, as we saw last week. Word cleansed. Word compelled. That's church God's way. John MacArthur says this, and I quote, Enjoying the Word is more than a momentary experience. It is the lifetime application of its truth. Any response to the Word other than unqualified obedience to it is self-deceptive. That's exactly what James has been driving at. He uses the deception term in verse 22 and again in verse 26. Don't deceive yourself. Don't deceive your heart. You see that key word, heart? James doesn't talk about religions merely as outward, external stuff. He says if you see it that way, you're deceiving your heart. Because true religion, faith in Jesus Christ, changes the heart. And that changes everything. First warning, beware the religious checklist. And Christians, don't for a second pretend like that's not a real temptation for you. To think, I did this, this, and this, and you didn't. And so I'm a better Christian than you. And that's my second warning. Goes hand in hand with the first warning. The first warning is beware the religious checklist mentality. Warning number two is, I guess I would call it, beware of the arrogance mentality. Here's what we all like to do. We all like to latch on to something in the New Testament in particular. I'm talking to Christians. James is talking to Christians that we're passionate about. And I do it too. Preaching to me. But we'll find that one thing we're really gifted or good at and passionate about, and we make it the be-all, end-all of Christianity. So that if I'm doing it and you're not, I can look down my religious snout at you now and chastise you as not being as devoted a Christian as I am. And so maybe I should say the second warning is beware the be-all, end-all mentality. James is not meaning to say that your speech and your visitation of orphans and widows and staying unstained from the world is the be-all, end-all of Christianity. In fact, he has four more chapters of what it means to be a Christian. This is just some examples he's giving of what it would look like to begin to live a word-compelled life. A hearing and doing life. He does not mean to say this is everything Christianity is about right here. And so again, what we all like to do is say, oh, you know what, I'm really good at visiting widows. And I go home and I pat myself on the back and I think, wow, I'm so much better than the person who didn't visit a widow this week. Oddly enough, when we view what James says that way, we violate the very next command God gives through His pen in James 2, verse 1. Brothers, show no partiality. That word can mean don't play favorites, don't discriminate amongst yourselves, don't make ungodly distinctions among yourselves. That's next week's sermon. But I don't want you to lose the context. This orphan widow speaking stuff comes between word created, word cleansed, word compelled, and don't play favorites. So beware the religious checklist mentality. Beware the be-all, end-all mentality. Okay, we got it? We ready to move? With that backdrop, I hope now we're ready to move. James gives us three areas where we should all be submitting our lives to the Word of the living God. He says we should be submitting our lives to God's Word in our speaking, in our serving, and in our separating. So number one, speak like a Christian. That's James's subpoint number one. Speak like a Christian. If you do not understand how depraved a sinner you are and how, even as a Christian, how much you need the Holy Spirit